Man, I hope your hearts are prepared this morning. Did that not prepare your heart? Matt, thanks. Thank you for that. Guys up there, worship team. You know, oftentimes music, which I love, and by the way, children aren't dismissed today. During communion, just real quick, during communion, which we do the first week of every month, we actually have the kids stay in here. I want them to be in here during communion. Because what better questions for kids to ask their parents than why are you taking communion? And then you have the opportunity to share with your kids about your love for Christ when you participate in communion. So that's why kids are in here. So it may get a little noisy, it may get a little more hectic, but bear with it, all right? Because I love it when kids get to stay in service, okay? That little caveat for you. You know, when you sing songs like that, when you sing songs like Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, when things aren't going great, you know, it's very easy for us to say, God, you're awesome when things are awesome. And it needs to be just as awesome when circumstances are maybe a little bit more dire in your life. And whether you have a good or a bad week, He is still in control. Amen. And the testimony that you have as a result of the bad times is a reflection of how much you trust your God, how much you trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the wrath of God removing that penalty from you. Your testimony, and that's what we're going to be talking about today from John chapter 4 as we continue our series. If you have your bulletins, why don't you grab those for me? If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. As we start this small little section about a testimony. John chapter 4, verses 39 through 43, as we continue our series on the truth. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him. And he stayed with them for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." And after the 2 days, he departed for Galilee. Let me ask God's blessing on the rest of the service. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come here and worship the great Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we come here filled with sin. And we ask that you would forgive us right now. Forgive us of our sins. We throw them up to you, plead with you to forgive us, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Oh, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would so move this morning that lives would be changed, that those of us who do know your Son, that we might repent of sin that is causing our testimony to be hurt. And to those who do not know you, that they might receive the testimony of Jesus Christ today. And that their lives might be radically changed by him. Father, you are here today. So do your work. And we ask that you would bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, oftentimes, as Christians, as Christ followers, we like to use terminology that may be unfamiliar to the secular world or just anybody that is pursuing God. We use words like witness. Can I get a witness? You know, when I first was saved, when I first trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior on November 2nd, 2001, I used to hear words like witness. And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? Witness. I'm a witness. You're a witness. Who's a witness? And I never understood what that meant until I began to study the word and see different things like that. Another one of those words is testimony. How many of you have ever heard, man, that guy had a solid testimony. That lady had a great testimony. What's your testimony? Do you have a testimony? And oftentimes we have no idea what people are talking or more importantly, people have no idea what we're talking about. Well, this morning, we are going to learn about a testimony. Now, all a testimony is you proclaiming something to be true. You are giving testimony or testifying to the truth of what you know. And so your lives in Christ are a living testimony to the world, to those who do not know Christ and to those who do know Christ. You are a walking billboard for Christ if you know Christ. And if you don't have a testimony, it's because you are not proclaiming the truth of what you know about Christ. So this morning, we learn about a Samaritan woman. And let me fill you guys in if you haven't been here before. But this Samaritan woman was a person who was living in sin. She came to Jesus. Well, she didn't know Jesus was going to be there. It was a divine appointment. Jesus was at the well, and this woman came to him, and he asked her some questions, wanted a drink. Then he began to expose her for her need for living water. He exposed her for her sin. You say you're not married. This is true. And the guy you're with right now is not your husband. She was an adulterous woman. She was living in sin. And Jesus began to open her eyes to the truth of him. And she believed. And so instantly, what did she do? In verse 29, she went back to the town to the same people, no doubt, that she was sleeping with. No doubt the same people who were gossiping about her. All of these people, she went and said, come and see the man who has told me everything about myself. And so we come to verse 39 after a little learning lesson with the disciples where he tells them, what you guys don't understand is, see, you went to town and you looked for food when you should have went to town looking for a harvest. You should have went to town with the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because communities need to change. You went to town looking for food. And I'm here to tell you the harvest is white. The communities are ready. And they're coming. Because a woman shared her testimony. And so we have this woman in verse 39. And she's bringing all these people out. The harvest is plenty. The workers are few. And God used a woman's testimony, an adulterous woman's testimony, to change a community. This morning, we are going to talk about the power of a testimony. The power of your ability to proclaim the truth of what you know about Jesus. Not just your words, but your actions. How are you living out your testimony of being a Christ follower today? Is Altoona, is Des Moines, is Iowa, is your workplace, is your family being changed by who you know? This woman demonstrated the power of the testimony of knowing Jesus Christ. And so real quickly, I'm just going to tell you two things. And then we're going to celebrate communion. And I'm guessing as we go over these two things, oftentimes our testimonies are not a reflection of our great Savior. For the same reason he had to come to die for our sins is the same reason we fall a lot, even as Christ followers. But how great is it that he has forgiven us in Christ? That is a living testimony. And so this morning, from this passage, we're going to see two things that I think will give you power in your testimony. Two things to give you power of your knowledge of Christ. The first thing is, tell the truth. Look at verse 39 again with me. And the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Here's what she said, or here's what they said. You ready? It started in verse 29, continues in verse 39. He told me everything. He told me all that I ever did. And in verse 29, he said, he told me everything that I ever did. This woman went back to the town and told the truth. And what's the truth? Well, this woman was an adulterous woman. This woman went back to town to tell the same people how Jesus changed her life. Now, I'm telling you, you don't need a theology degree to share your testimony. And oftentimes I hear you have to have some sort of degree or knowledge of the Bible to tell people about Christ. You just need a testimony. And if you know Christ, you have one. But you lose your power of your testimony. You lose the power of your testimony when you don't tell them the truth. You know, I stand up here, and you guys know my story. You know that I've struggled mightily for 26 years with drugs. And I made fake IDs. And I did a bunch of other things that kids are in here and we don't need them to know about. I've told you all about what God has done in my life. And whether you are 5 or you are 75, the power of that truth can never be lost. You have to tell them how bad you are. If you at all disguise how good you are because of how Christ changed your life, you eliminate the power of how Christ saved you. And oftentimes I hear, well, I was saved when I was 5. My testimony is pretty boring. If I hear that one more time, I think I'm going to scream. Your testimony, whether you're 5 or 75, is not boring. You have been saved by the grace of God. And whether you're 5 or 75, you had to confess your need for a Savior. And that's the truth. That is the truth. If you don't get just as emotional about what Jesus did to you when you did it at 5 as you did at 75, then you have a heart problem. Because you are a sinful person. And but by the grace of God, you have been forgiven of the great sin, which is unbelief. You have been forgiven of that one sin that would have caused you to experience the wrath of God. How dare us say our testimonies are boring. You tell people the truth. I was saved when I was 5. I was saved when I was 75. And I am still here today to tell you that gospel good news is as good as today as it was when I was 5. And I am just as excited today as I was when I was 5. If you don't tell them the truth, they have no idea what they need. If they think they're being saved to be good, well, some of them might be better than you. And they think they're already saved or born again. We lose the power of our testimony when we don't tell people the truth. This woman, this Samaritan woman, she no doubt was ashamed. And guys, ladies, I am ashamed of the things I've done. I am ashamed at the life I lived for 26 years in complete rebellion to God. I am so sickened by the things I've done. I wish that I was saved when I was 5 and not go through some of the things that I went through. But by God's grace and by God's plan, He saved me when I was 26. You do not lose the grossness of your sin because you were saved earlier or saved later. Sin is gross. And sin ruins our lives. And if you can't proclaim that truth, then people don't know why they're lost. Because sin has pleasure, does it not? Everyone shake your head. That's the reason we do it. But as Moses said, he chose rather to be mistreated than choose the fleeting pleasures of sin. That's a testimony. That's a testimony people need to hear. They need to hear the truth. And the Samaritan woman told the people the truth. They said, she went into town, no doubt, and they knew what kind of woman this was. There was a reason she was going to the well at noon. Because she was hiding from people. No doubt people were gossiping about this woman. But when Christ changed her life, she went right to town. She dropped her water pail. She went to get water. She left the water pail. She was so excited to get back to town to tell all the people that no doubt she sinned against or had been sinned to about this great Savior. Yeah, she was ashamed of her sin. But her shame of her sin did not stop her from going to town to tell them the truth of the great Savior. You know, too often, I think we think that people won't listen to us because of the change that God does in our life. I had a friend named Mike, and me and Mike used to party like there was no tomorrow. And whether it was going and dealing drugs or doing anything, Mike was my buddy. And Mike, after God changed my life on November 26, 2001, I was pretty scared to tell some of my friends because I knew that they were going to think I was a weirdo because I was no longer going to the places that participated in the places that I participated in. Well, Mike was a good friend of mine. And he started asking me, hey, you want to go do this, that, or the other? And I started out with just telling him, no, Mike, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to stay home with my wife. And pretty soon he started realizing there's something up. And so finally, God put me at a position where I needed to either tell Mike that I needed to tell him something. And so I said, Mike, here's the deal. I placed my trust in Christ. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I'm not some sort of Bible thumper, but all I want you to know is, man, I don't want to do those things anymore. I know that doing those things is not what God wants me to do. I'm not perfect. I don't want you to think I'm perfect, but I'm just not going to do those things anymore. And Mike looked at me like he'd seen a ghost. He wasn't too pleased with that. After a while, he didn't talk to me anymore. After a while, he stopped calling. But then 2 or 3 months later, he called me. And he started to realize this wasn't just a fad. This just wasn't something that I picked up at a candy store and said, hey, I want to taste Jesus for a little bit and see if it works and then let it go for a while. No, this was my new life. And Mike began to ask me and my wife, can I come to church with you? And so Mike came to church. I was completely shocked. Mike came to church, and then he came to church again. And then Mike placed his trust in Christ. Me and Mike are better friends than we've ever been before. I actually just talked to him a couple weeks ago. When you tell people the truth, God can use your testimony. If you do not tell the truth, if you shade any parts of your sinful life, then you remove the power of your testimony. Now, you think that's a happy ending. I have several other friends that have not talked to me to this day. They do think I'm a weirdo, and they do think I'm a freak, and I'm all right with it. Because as my faith has grown, God has given me the grace to get through those things. Because the power of a testimony, the importance of my testimony to my friends, my relatives, my community is more important to me than whether a person likes me or not. My hope is that by telling the truth, God will use it to save them. Secondly, the Samaritan woman brought them to the truth. You know, there's one thing to tell them the truth. There's one thing for me to tell you, hey, guys, I've struggled with any number of sins. There's one thing to tell people about those things, but if you do not bring them to the truth, and that's exactly what the Samaritan woman did, to the point where they came out. Verses 41, so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. They wanted to know. They wanted to know the truth of what this woman had just told them. See, she didn't just go there and say, hey, guys, man, Jesus saved me. This is awesome. Changed my life. I'm going to be different, man. I'm going to be totally different. Okay, great. There was something about her telling the truth, but the power consisted that she brought him to the truth, or brought them to the truth. You lose the power of your testimony if you don't bring them to the Word, to Jesus. If they see that your life has changed and they don't have an answer to that change, there's no power behind the testimony. Does that make sense? This woman knew she had to bring them to Jesus. And Jesus gave them the truth. Jesus is the one who saves. This woman did not save them. My good deeds, my changed behavior, this saves no one. I bring them to the one who does. You bring them to the one who will. You know, D.L. Moody is a famous evangelist, preacher in the 18th century. Led scores of people to Christ. Brought them to the truth. D.L. Moody was an amazing evangelist. Well, he was walking on the street one day and he ran into a guy and he was drunk as a skunk, laying on the street. Saw D.L. Moody walk by, gets up and starts blabbering, hey, D.L. Moody, Dwight Moody, I'm one of your converts. And D.L. Moody turns to him and said, you must be one of my converts, because you're certainly not one of his. See, the power of a testimony is that Jesus saves. If you are placing your trust in a person, or the change in a person, or the fact that changes occur in people who know Christ, that is not salvation. Salvation comes by hearing the truth. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17 says this, follow along with me. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they going to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now catch this. But they are not all obeyed. They have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed that he has not heard from us? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. You want a powerful testimony? Whether you are 5 or 75, you tell them the truth, and then you bring them to the truth. If you tell them what God has done in your life, and you don't bring them to the knowledge of what Christ can do for them, you lose the power of your testimony. Because they just think that, wow, your life just changed. Great. High Point Church, we have got to be a church. We have got to be a people so on fire for what God has done in our lives, so that people will see something different. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an account of the hope that is in you. If your testimony after you trusted Christ has not changed, If you are here today and whether you're 5 or 75 and you're saying, you know what, my life really hasn't changed, you may not have a testimony. You may have religion, but you do not have a testimony. A testimony is this. You are proclaiming your need for a Savior. You are proclaiming your need for the forgiveness of your sins. You are proclaiming your thankfulness that the wrath of God is removed from you. And whether your days are bad, or your weeks are long, or you have losses, or you don't have something you think you deserve, His work in your life is more important. And it should give you great joy. See, the problem is, Christ follower, is we fall into the same traps as those who don't know Christ. We start to question God's goodness. We start to question whether He has the right plan for us. We start to question whether these bad things that are happening to me are really part of my life. And you start getting angry with God. And your testimony becomes more of complaining. And people start to look at you like, who do you know again? I forget. Or more importantly, you stop sharing your love for Christ because you no longer have that love for Christ. Now, I'm not saying you lost your salvation. I'm just saying you're no longer compelled by the love of Christ. You're no longer compelled by that love that saved you and that is now supposed to be sanctifying you. You complain and you whine, and people are watching you. You don't think they're watching you? I promise you're watching you. Why do I know this? Because I knock on doors, and I talk to people in the community, and they call Christians hypocrites. Because we have falsely told people what it really means to be a follower of Christ. We have not told them the truth, and we have not brought them to the truth. They think we're hypocrites because we've never told them that we're still sinning. We have never told them that by God's grace, we are still being formed into the image of Christ. They somehow think we're supposed to be perfect because we forgot to tell them the truth. We have lost the power of our testimony. And I'm here to tell you, High Point Church, you don't need a theology degree. You don't have to have the Genesis to the Revelation memorized. You just need to have a testimony. And if you are a Christ follower here this morning, you have that testimony. The question is whether there's power in it. You know, I don't see the Widens here, and I hate to bring them up with them not being here, but the power of a testimony. Jamie Wyden was saved probably a month ago or so. Rebecca Wyden put on her Facebook how she was now saved, how she had now placed her trust in Christ. She heard the truth, believed the truth. Where'd she hear the truth? There's a young lady named Kara Lloyd who's sitting in the back who shared her testimony right here. She shared her testimony and Rebecca was listening. Kara shared the truth of her life, her struggles. And then she shared the truth of Jesus Christ in her life. And Rebecca was brought to Christ. Jesus saved her as she did her husband. That is the power of a testimony. You know, as we transition now to communion, it is our opportunity. You guys, hear me out. You will never be sinless. You got that? But Christ was. And so as we celebrate communion right now, as you hold up that bread, you should put your life next to Christ and you realize how much of a sinner you are, and it should cause you to confess your sins to Christ. See, because of His perfect, sinless, He became our sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God. If He was not perfect, if He was not sinless, He could not be our sacrifice. And because He was God, because He is God, He was an acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And so when you hold that bread, it's a symbol of his body, his perfect, sinless body that was given for you and was given for me. What a testimony. What a testimony. When you hold up that bread, it should cause you to repent from your sins. It should cause you to get your testimony right before God. It is a time for you to do business with God and confess your sin and confess your need for him again and confess the fact that your testimony has lost power and you repent. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And so when you repent and when you realize your need for Christ, you tell people. You walk out of this room and there are people, I no doubt, at work, at home, that you need to tell them, hey, I got to tell you the truth. I got to tell you the truth about the life I've been living. I got to tell you the truth about the things I've been doing. I got to tell you the truth about how you think I'm a Christian, but I'm really not. Or you think I'm a Christian, I haven't been acting like it. I want to tell you the truth about Jesus Christ. This should be a great time at communion to confess again your need for Christ and to repent. And if you're here today and you are a Christ follower and you are living in sin, and what I mean by that is not that we don't all sin, but I'm saying you're living in sin and you will not repent of that sin, then you stay away from the communion table. Because 1 Corinthians 11 says you are asking for judgment on your life. And what does that mean? I'm not sure, but Proverbs 29:1 is very clear. If you continually stiffen your neck to Christ's rebuke, you will be broken beyond healing. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't want to know. Maybe it's that God's going to take you out. And is it not an act of grace to take you out? You still get to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. But don't you want to be used here? Do you not want to be used here? If you would say you're a Christ follower and you're done, well, you may be. Then when you hold that wine or that juice, it's not wine, sorry, my Catholic days. When you hold that juice, it is an opportunity for you to reflect on the blood of Christ. Because without the blood, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So when you hold that juice, you thank the Lord. It should be a glorious time. You should be sitting there reveling in the fact that Christ died for your sins. And that should cause your heart to be lifted up. This is your opportunity to get right with God, to do business with God. And if you don't know Christ, what better day than to receive Christ as your Savior? What better day than today? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now is the time, now is the day. In the acceptable time I helped you, in the day of salvation, I heard you. Is today the day of your salvation? If it is, then receive communion gladly. If you have not received Christ, avoid the table because it is a symbol of something you already believe. If you don't believe it, why would you take communion? So if you don't believe what this communion represents, communion is not for you. It's not meant to be separatist. I'm not here to say you can't do something, but I'm telling you, you can't do it. Don't do it. Don't make a mockery of communion. Why not receive him and take it gladly? That's what communion is all about. So what we're going to do for the next few minutes, they're going to play a couple songs. That is your time to reflect. Brian and Joe will bring those tables in the middle, in the back, and this is a personal time. We don't go around and pass the plate. This is a personal time between you and God. You get up and you walk back there and you grab that bread and you grab that juice and you come back to your chair and you do business with God. Or more importantly, let God do business with you. This is a personal time between you and God. And then we will commune together. So hold that bread, hold that juice. And when I come up, we'll commune together. Okay? Let me have a word of prayer as we start. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity. Lord, thank you for the testimony of this Samaritan woman. May it be an example to all of us to tell the truth and to bring people to the truth. Lord, thank you for your testimony. The symbols that we now partake in communion, the bread and the juice, symbolizes the perfect testimony of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray, I got work to do. I got sins to confess. Father, I'm so grateful that I can speak to you personally and that you hear me and that you hear the people of this church. Father, help us to do the changing that we need to do. For your glory, I pray. Amen.